You're listening to Ecto Portal, a journey into the unknown with Anthony Anderson and Verna Wilson.
I hope that you are seated comfortably with the light turned down and the curtains drawn.
To Ecto Portal, another journey into the unexplored, the unexplained. I'm Anthony Anderson, your host, and I'm here with my co-host,
Verna Wilson. Hi, everybody.
For another big spooky adventure today. What is today's topic, Verna?
Today is going to be about the haunted Eldridge
The haunted Eldridge Hotel.
I don't know why I'm laughing. The haunted Eldridge Hotel. Nothing to be laughing about.
I guess we'll start over.
No, it was kind of funny, actually. Why am I laughing?
I don't know. Continue. Anyway, the Haunted Eldridge Hotel in Missouri?
Yeah, in Missouri. You mean Missouri?
Missouri is what they call it.
They call it Missouri?
Yeah.
I never heard it called that. Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, the Haunted Eldridge Hotel, it's a hotel that was, that lay amid the Missouri-Kansas border war, mm-hmm. and it was burned down twice in the 1800s.
But it's haunted, right?
It is haunted, yes. It's haunted. It's a very famous hotel, actually.
Dead people and stuff.
Yeah, you know, spooks. You know,
spookiness.
You know, spooks. Yeah. What's that sound in the haunted in the Haunted House album in Disney, from Disney?
Which
sound? You know.
Ooh!
Yeah, that sound. Yeah. Everybody remembers having that album when they were kids, right?
Yep. Chilling, thrilling sounds of the haunted house. That's what it was called.
I love that album.
They've been reissuing it for years.
They should make a new one.
They have. Well, a new album.
A new one with a new one.
Added stuff to it.
Well, a new one with new narrations and new sounds.
Oh, you mean? Oh, yeah. Because side one was the, what is it? Ron Howard was the little kid.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And it was narrated by him and his friend going into the haunted house. It was like 15 minutes long. And then the other side was the sound effect stuff.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if they make a new one, I think our voices would be perfect to narrate it.
Okay. Well, you send off that letter to Disney.
I don't think, I mean, hey, I don't know if Disney's listening, but I would love
Disney's
to.
Disney's always listening to us. Why wouldn't they?
Of course they would. But you know which one I would love to narrate?
What?
The one that, My Pet Cat. Remember that one?
No.
Okay, it's one where she talks about having a kitty cat. And then all of a sudden, the cats all turn on the lady, and they're all like, wah, 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 and they're all scratching her.
Is this a horror book?
No, in the album.
Do they eat her? It's an album?
Yeah, and they all attack her, and she's getting scratched up.
I don't know your mama bought your records, but damn.
It's in the same album. Everybody who's had that. Okay, everybody, if you're listening, in the Haunted House album, there's the one.
There's two albums, though. There's Chilling, Thrilling Sounds of the Haunted House.
That's the one.
And there's the Haunted Mansion album. The Haunted Mansion album has the Ron Howard story.
No.
Going into the haunted house.
The chilling sounds of the haunted house.
That's just a sound.
It's where it's where this lady narrates about having a pet cat, and then all of a sudden she talks about the cats all turning against you. And
I think it's a dream you had.
No, I'm serious. Everybody,
I think it's a scary.
No,
dream.
No, it's true. I've heard it since I was a kid, and I want to narrate that one. But I love the ones where all the cats are going, row, 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 and they're all, like, attacking.
Maybe it did. Maybe one side was the stories with the sound effects and the other side was just the sound effects.
Right. But I remember that one really well. And you know what? I'm going to prove it to him. I'm going to find that and show and play it for him.
Okay. I probably have it.
Probably.
we'll find it. We'll
okay.
Find it. Okay. So, all right. So that sounds great. So let's do... Oh, what did you do lately? What have you done lately? We haven't talked lately.
Well... I've been working, of course, and I've been...
That's good.
...writing.
Okay.
I've been writing my poetry. I've been trying to start some short stories. Mm-hmm. It's been a challenge finding the writing time. And I've been doing a little bit of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's...
You're going to say Bart work. I'm like, what are you, drawing on Bart?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I hand out the tickets.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You don't hand out tickets to Bart. You have Clipper cards now. Mm-hmm. But, we went to go see some friends play that were previously from the punk scene. Cliff Roman was in the Weirdos, and he did some Weirdos songs, and I believe that it was kind of a Weirdos reunion with some former group members, and they did a great job. And also Edward Stapleton, who's a friend, and he has a group called Nervous Gender. They have a record out, and they were fantastic. They were wonderful, and he did such a great job. So it was really great seeing them. So what about you?
Gearing up for the new tour season for Halloween, the Haunted Hate pub crawl.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should go look up hauntedhate.com and come on the pub crawl on Saturday, because that's when I'll be doing it. That's when it's the best. Better than the other nights, just saying, because it's me. I'm working on the books. I don't want to say halfway, because there's going to be a lot of information in this book, a lot of pictures. It's almost going to be the local... All the local haunted stories, haunted hotels, restaurants, houses, everything. You're going to have true crime in there. You're going to have some buildings that are haunted with true crime. Some we've investigated together. Some we've investigated with other people.
Nice.
So all lots and lots of pictures. So it's, and actually there's going to be links to EVPs. So
that's going to be great.
You'll be able to like tag it with your phone, a QR code, and it will take you right to the EVP and you can listen to it.
That is so unique. You know, I've seen a lot of books written about haunted places, haunted areas, but I've never seen one that has something like that. That is very cool.
That way you can actually hear the evidence that I'm talking about. You can actually hit it with, have your phone up, bing, get that QR code, and it takes you right to the website to listen to it.
Oh, now I'm wondering how many of those... Have you listed that we actually investigated together?
Well, I haven't listed them yet, but I have them tagged as I'm writing the book. There's a lot. There's a whole lot. There'll be a lot of...
Okay, I think I know which ones. It's going to be very cool.
I mean, I was thinking stuff today as I went past the Fairmount. I'll be adding stuff for
that. Oh, yeah. What about St. Francis?
That's what I'm saying. Oh, great. There's a lot of stuff. It's going to take me a while because I go through all these stories and do the history and all the tragedies and all the ghost stories. And then I talk about our investigations.
That's very cool.
So it's kind of it's personal, but it's also covers a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stories that I don't see in any other books on San Francisco ghost stories. So.
Which is great, because yours is going to be unique.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm kind of focusing on the ones that people don't really know about very much.
And we covered some on this show, too.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty we haven't, so we'll probably do more of those later.
That would be great. Yeah.
So that's partially what I'm working on. And that's actually sucking up most of my time right now, besides getting ready for the Halloween tours. So, yeah, it's good. All right, should we get to the paranormal news?
Let's get to the paranormal news.
All right, let's do it. Welcome back to the Paranormal News. What do you got for us this week, Verna?
Well, we did a show on The Conjuring a while back, and it was a really good show. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of great feedback from that show.
The Perrin Family Farm or whatever it was.
That's right. Well, actually, the Rhode Island farmhouse, that was the setting for the story that inspired the 2013 movie, The Conjuring.
Yeah, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
It sold for more than $1.5 million, 27% above the original asking price.
Now, if I remember correctly, let me just tell you what I remember. When we did the show,
yeah,
there was a couple that were paranormal investigators, and the whole point of them buying the house was they rented it out for overnights to paranormal investigators.
Mm-hmm.
They also kept round-the-clock cameras to try and capture footage and stuff in the house.
Yep.
So this is these are the people that just sold it?
They just sold it, yeah. Okay. So, you know, it was the site of a haunting, and it was, and it actually disturbed the Perrone family in the 1970s, mm-hmm. and, you know, we all know about that.
Yeah.
And of course, the movie, it talks about a family moving into their dream home in Rhode Island. They soon find themselves haunted by all this supernatural activity, and this involved Ed and Lorraine Warren coming mm-hmm. To deal with it. And anyway, it sold, and I hope the new family or whoever bought it was happy with it.
I'll bet you anything, if it sold for that much over the price,
yeah,
I guarantee you it's probably another paranormal couple or team,
right,
whose sole purpose is to lease it out on overnights, which is great for the paranormal community.
Maybe.
The neighbors might not like that so well, but
no.
You can make a lot of money by buying one of these popular, you know, a haunted house that's been, you know, legend, movies made about it, books, TV shows, documentaries.
And do tours.
And tours. And,
yeah.
But then you could do day tours during the day, fix it up exactly like they had the house, and then at night, lease it out to these paranormal groups for one or two nights, you know, whatever, for a decent price. You can make some
pretty
good money.
There's been quite a few places where they've done that. And
yeah.
Sometimes I like that, and other times I think, well, I don't know, you know, it depends on what happened. And
well, like the Lizzie Borden house, it's a bed and breakfast, and it's a very expensive bed and breakfast.
I heard about that.
You can do tours during the day, which I know friends have done, but it's like $400, $400 plus a night to stay there.
I can't justify that. For me, I can't justify that price.
No, I thought that was a little...
That's very pricey.
Yeah. But I bet people love to stay there. You know
what I mean? Of course they do. Yeah.
Okay. So my article.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of reminds me of UFO activity. Maybe not. In Peru, there were 33 sheep that were mysteriously killed at the end of August.
Oh.
It's in a kind of a rural area. Something massacred over 33 adult sheep and lambs. They blamed the puma. Is the panther. Locals blame the chupacabra and aliens. The Peruvian province of Chincheros, the district of Ocobamba. Two farmers found their sheep killed in a very savage manner. There was a deep hole in their head, and the lambs had their eyes removed, and it later turned out the sheep also had their rectums removed.
That's weird.
So a former farmer, Emilia Ruiz Santos, found 16 of her sheep lying dead on the ground outside the paddock where they keep them at night. Another farmer found 14 of her sheep killed in the same way. Complaints were made to the authorities, police station, the police arrived, civil officers, Natural Agricultural Health Service assessed the condition of the carcasses of the sheep, and found out of the details of the cause of their death. The incident had a profound effect on the locals. He confirmed that all the sheep had no wounds and their bodies other than holes in their heads, which does not sound like a ritualistic killing of animals.
No.
That sounds like UFO alien abduction stuff. More than 30 sheep were killed at dawn. The reasons are still unknown. The situation's never happened before in the area. Among the villagers, news spread like wildfire. Many blamed the chupacabra, you know, the little sucker that attacks animals and sucks their blood.
Oh, that's interesting. But yeah. but it was just more than sucking blood, though.
Yeah. It removed their rectums. And
right.
Others drew attention to the similarity of what happened with cattle mutilations. eyes and their anus are often removed from the animals. They say they examined the carcass in the sheep and it did not die due to any disease or attack of a wild animal or a cougar. Lambs show traumatic brain injuries, holes, anal lesions, as well as eye injuries torn out caused by aggression or external injury from a wild animal, which are found in the Andean highlands near the area. They repeatedly attack pets and stuff in the past, but those attacks are not like these. These usually have claws and fangs, but there's not a single puncture in the skull as in this case.
It's crazy. You know what that reminds me of? I mean, I haven't heard that type of report in ages. Remember in Coast to Coast, I don't know if she still does it, Linda Moulton Howell, she used to talk about...
Yeah, she has her own podcast. My brother.
Oh, yeah, right, she does. I forgot about that. Yeah. Remember, she used to report about cattle mutilations
all the time.
It used to happen more often, I mean, because she would find out about it.
Well, they've been happening still.
Yeah?
I think... Cattle mutilations got to the point where it was so common that I think a lot of people just stopped reporting it because they never had the answers for them, but they always continued to happen.
But they were so weird because it was where the cattle was dead, but they were like drained of blood, and
or missing like organs in their body, but there's no way they could have got the organs out.
Right.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Yeah. So it's interesting that we're seeing more reports about. Farm animals. Yeah. My question is, if it is aliens, UFO activity, why are they doing that? What for the farm animals? Why?
And why eyes and why blood?
Yeah,
and
why?
The anus? You think of rectal probes from UFOs abductions, and you think, well, they're stealing rectums from animals. You're like, are we making something?
Exactly.
I don't know what the little guys are up to, but...
Or tall guys. Yeah.
Tall, skinny, big guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just nasty business, but... Yeah, I don't... Remember when they used to try and pin it on rituals? It was...
Oh, yes. I remember that. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Satanists draining an entire cow's blood... And not have any slices or bloody mess around.
That doesn't match up.
There's no way you could do that.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? For ritualistic, even if you wanted to kill a cow for blood, most Satanists would probably be like, you know what? Let's slit its throat here, get the blood, and go. But they drained the entire cows with blood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a little puncture. So... You wouldn't want to wait around for hours sucking the blood out of this animal for your ritual. You'd be like, all right, let's get enough for, you know, if we drink it or whatever the hell we're going to do with it. So I don't know. I just don't think it's ritual stuff.
I don't either.
But they get blamed for a lot of that stuff, which is stupid. But.
So that's what the show's about. The unexplained, right?
The unexplained.
That's right.
Yes.
So we're doing the unexplained.
Not so sure I want to explore it, but it's unexplained.
It's unexplained. And we are kind of exploring it in a way. We're talking about it. The how, the what, the why.
Yep.
We don't have the answers, but that's what they're there for, to speculate.
Exactly. All right, and that's the paranormal news. All right. And this week, of course, we have another... Haunted hotel episode for you. So, Verna, tell me, have you ever stayed at a haunted hotel? And what's the most haunted? And what was your experience?
Oh, yeah. I've stayed at a haunted hotel. A few of them, in fact. And I would say one that comes to me is the San Remos Hotel in San Francisco.
North Beach, yep.
Yeah. And I was actually, this wasn't when I was staying there. When I stayed there... Definitely, there was a lot of activity going on. But this was when I was actually coming to investigate it with some friends. Mm-hmm. And you were there that day.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And I was walking on one of the floors. I think, is there a laundry part where there's a laundry?
Yeah.
There's a little laundry part. It's that part.
Yep.
And when I was walking, somebody walked, I heard a voice right in my head, I mean, very out loud, say, Verna, my name. And I turned around and I looked around and there was nobody there, but it was clearly a male voice.
Wow.
And I walked up to our friend Jackie and I told her about it and she said, Verna, my K2 meter just went up when you said that. And it went up like at the highest number.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've slept there a number of times. I've slept in the suicide room. I've slept in the madam's room. I've slept in probably every haunted room in the hotel that's there.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely get a feeling. I got probably the one of the best EVPs I've ever gotten was, there's a rooftop suite.
Yeah.
And the rooftop suite wasn't built part of the hotel. It was added in like the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The owners used it as their office area. They would sleep there sometimes. There's a bathroom. It has its own bathroom. It has its own little fridge, TV, and beautiful views of North Beach from the roof. And they do rent it out. Well, we used it as our command central for our first investigation there with the group. And we were up there doing a little EVP work during the day after we were planning. And I got a really great EVP of a man say, "They have courage." And I, of course, you don't hear about it till you get home. You're listening back. And let me play it for you right here. So I don't know who has courage. Who's he talking about? He says they have courage. I guess he meant us. Maybe investigating the hotel. Who knows?
Probably.
There's a lot of history there. There's, you know, Prohibition. There's earthquake survivors. There's artists that live there. All kinds of people have went through that place. So it wouldn't surprise me. I've had enough great evidence there.
Mm-hmm.
Saw an apparition there. I haven't seen an apparition hardly ever. And the one I saw was definitely in that hotel. So, yeah, I would say that probably fits for me.
That's that, and it's the same place.
Yep.
Yeah, the same place. Yeah.
We're going to mention the Congress Hotel, but I realize now that I have more experiences at the San Remo.
Right. The San Remo's is famous for that, but, you know, I know a lot of people, they visit it because of its haunted past, mm-hmm. but... sometimes you're going to get an experience. Yeah. Other times I would say just go to the restaurant and stay there because it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great place. I love it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So you got another hotel for this week though, right?
You're talking about our subject or you're talking about another? Oh yes. Right. Of course. The subject. Yeah. That since we're on the subject of haunted hotels, this is the Eldridge Hotel, which is in Lawrence, Kansas, and it's a very famous hotel. It's been known to be haunted, and it was, and before the Civil War, it did lay amid the Missouri-Kansas border war, mm-hmm. and it was burned down twice in the mid-1800s.
Do you know if it was burned down on purpose or if it was burned down by accident?
It was burned down on purpose.
Oh, so and it was during the battles and stuff.
Right, so we're gonna talk about that.
Okay.
Now, originally, it was called the Free State Hotel, and it was built in 1855 by settlers, and they were it was settlers from the New England Immigrant Aid Society, and it was named the Free State Hotel, which meant that that Kansas should come into the Union as a free state.
Mm-hmm.
So the Free State Hotel was intended as temporary quarters for those settlers that were waiting for their homes to be built. So on January 3rd, 1855, Colonel Schaller Eldridge, he arrived in Kansas City from New England, and he purchased the American House on which General Pomeroy had bought for the Immigrant Aid Society. So the house was the headquarters of the Free State men, and in early 1856, Schaller leased the Free State Hotel at Lawrence, equipping it as a first-class hotel. That's how we advertised it.
Mm-hmm.
So months later, on May 21st, 1856, the hotel was attacked and destroyed by Sheriff Samuel J. Jones and I guess his group. And they led a group of pro-slavery forces, and they aimed a cannon at the hotel, and they burnt it to the ground.
Nice. Great.
That's terrible. What if there were people there?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
They probably didn't care. If their intention was to burn the hotel down, they probably didn't care if anybody was inside.
Terrible. Yeah. So in 1857, Colonel Eldridge, along with his brothers Edson, Thomas, and James, they rebuilt the hotel for $80,000. Vowing that it would be rebuilt again if it was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to make sure that it still stood.
Insured?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. But anyway, the hotel was also destroyed again in 1863 when Quantrell and his raiders attacked it. William Clark Quantrell is who I'm talking about.
Wow.
He was a native from Ohio. He was part of the Confederate forces,
mm-hmm.
and he was just unhappy on how the war was going, and he took it upon himself to aggressively attack, bring the war to a more with more attacks and
but to destroy a civilian hotel.
Jesus. I know,
kind of low life.
Yeah, he began. he started raiding the Western. He started his raiding career in 1862 in western Missouri and then across the border into Kansas, and he plundered the towns of Olathe, Spring Hill, and Shawnee. And his raids gained the attention of other Confederates or other people in his group.
Yeah.
So anyway, he just decided, you know, I'm going to make this war more aggressive. And on the morning of August 21st, 1863, Quantrill, along with his force of 400 people, descended on the sleeping town of Lawrence, and he was mad about the Free State headquarters town. He set out for revenge against the Jayhawker community, and it was an early morning raid, and it went on for 4 hours, and it turned the town into a wreck, a bloody wreck. And him and his mob of raiders began their terror at 5 a.m. and looting and burning the town. And they destroyed, it was totally destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was less than 3,000 residents in that town. But they killed approximately 180 men and boys by that time, and they left it nothing more than just fiery, smoldering ruins.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, the city of Lawrence was determined to rebuild and adopted the motto, from ashes to immortality. And using an original cornerstone from the burned hotel, Colonel Eldridge promptly rebuilt the hotel, which opened up again in 1865 with the new name, the Hotel Eldridge. And in 1867, he built the Broadway House in Kansas City, now known as the Coates House.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1877, he built the Eldridge House at Coffeyville. And the next year, the Otis House in Atchison. And he died on January 16th, 1899, in Lawrence at the age of 82. So for the next few decades, the Eldridge Hotel, it stood as one of the finest hotels west of the Mississippi River. And it continued to stood as a really good hotel as Lawrence and the state of Kansas were developing. And by 1925, the hotel began to deteriorate when a group of Lawrence business leaders decided that due to the hotel's importance to the city, it should be torn down and rebuilt to its former dignity and elegance. So they wanted to restore it, actually, because it was getting
tearing
old.
It down isn't restoring it.
I didn't think so either. they said it should be torn down and rebuilt to its former dignity because they probably felt that it was getting old and probably there were a lot of building codes that were
cheaper to tear it down and rebuild it in code than not that upgrade it.
Right, and the community helped, and the hotel was again displayed. The hotel again was built to be the beautiful hotel that it was meant to
be. So officially it was destroyed 3 times, though.
Officially,
and
yeah.
This is now, what, the fourth version that's standing today?
I think so. By the 1960s, though, it began to deteriorate. And, you know, downtown hotels were no longer popular, given over to, because, you know, times have changed. There were a lot of motels springing up. And, you know, the town was growing and people found other places to stay.
Yep.
And it closed, and finally the old hotel closed down permanently in July 1st, 1970, and it was converted into apartments.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, however, in 1985, a group of investors wanted to restore the old hotel again.
Oh.
Yeah, and the city of Lawrence supported the project, and they committed $2 million to match the $1 million raised by private investors. which is nice, you know. So the hotel's top four floors were completely rebuilt, converted into 48 two-room luxury suites, and the hotel was restored to its former splendor.
Okay.
Right. So, anyway, now that's where the hauntings come in. So, the fifth floor is said to contain a portal to the spirit world, and the fifth, and it has a famous suite, suite 506. And witnesses said that they reported breath marks on recently cleaned mirrors, doors opening and shutting on their own, lights turning on and off by themselves, and of course, and cold spots walking through the hotel.
Wait, what was the number of the room?
506.
Okay, folks, 506. Ask for that room if you
right.
stay at
the
Eldridge.
Right, if you go to the Eldridge Hotel, the fifth floor, 506, is the famous suite. And it's supposed to be a famous suite where it's very haunted, where mm-hmm. it's the most haunted. Yeah. So anyway, people have seen apparitions, they've reported cold spots, and there's an elevator ghost that likes to open and close the elevator doors on the fifth floor.
Wow, a lot of activity on the fifth floor.
I'm going to go to the fifth floor when I'm there. I want to visit that hotel.
I want to go stay at the hotel.
I want to stay there,
too.
How
are we going to get there, Verna? We'll just fly and stay?
Well, it's Lawrence, Kansas. You know, I'm sure there's other places in Lawrence, Kansas we can go to.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, Old Town, Pobby
yep.
Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And photographers have mentioned having difficulties with their cameras when they're near the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
So people have mentioned...
is that all on the fifth floor, all this stuff?
No.
So it's other floors as well?
Well, you know... actually, they didn't really say, rather,
just
it was the fifth
general,
floor. Just in general, near the elevator. But
okay.
The fifth floor is probably where they have the most concentrate of hauntings there.
Now, what's interesting, because I think you said the top four floors were rebuilt to
yeah.
new rooms. So that construction, I wonder if that's what triggered all that.
I wonder about that, too.
You know, maybe that portal was there for what? People say if there is a portal there that they come and go and they just happen to be on the fifth floor, but all that construction might have stirred it up. If that thing has been torn down, burned down 3 times, and this is the fourth incarnation, this building,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of history in one
lot. That's a lot of history.
So
yeah.
Who's to say? You know, I still don't think spirits stay in one spot. I think they come and go and they travel to and fro, go in and out of houses, hotels, restaurants, whatever. Who knows? But that could, if it is a portal, that could be where they come and go easily.
Very much so. Because
which explains why it's haunted.
Right. And I do know about portals because there's a portal in the spot in my apartment
mm-hmm.
where a lot of spirits come and go. And people have reported... I'm not the
yeah,
only
no,
one...
We've talked about your portal in the
podcast. I have talked about my portal in the podcast. And
the portal potty.
Oh, the very portal potty.
She has
that's
a portal
funny.
Potty, folks.
Oh, yeah,
in the
that's
hallway.
Funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I have stories about my portal in my house.
Your
where
portal potty.
Yeah, my right, my portal potty. Very funny. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, I remember being when I had some guests over, I slept in the hallway on a futon because I let them sleep in my bed in the main room.
Mm-hmm.
And on a Saturday morning, I felt a finger touching the back of my neck when I was sleeping. And I woke up and I looked and I saw a boy running. And he looked like, he was like 13 years old. He had a long Victorian haircut
sort of
with
this.
Bangs and
yeah.
longish hair. And he was wearing kind of like a velvet suit. And he was running. So I think he wanted to see if I was real or not. And he was a brat and he
Sounds
was running.
Like Edwardian era. By the sounds of the
Well, Edwardian or Victorian, either way, but it's he didn't look like
you
a
never
a young...
seen him or hear from him since that?
No, not
Maybe
since
he
that
just
day.
Just passed through. Hey, like, lady, wake up!
I think he was just passing through. Yeah, and he
poking
put
you?
His finger is poking his finger at the back of my neck. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, and you know what was interesting was that his suit was white, and this is something that I read, but I don't know if it's true. I heard that when children died early and they were buried,
mm-hmm.
that it was traditional to bury them in a white suit. And I'm wondering if that was his burial
especially
suit.
Especially the Victorian era.
Yeah.
Big time. Because you always see pictures, funereal pictures, even pictures White suits for children were really popular for some reason.
Yeah.
1890s. You know what I mean?
But I heard it was a tradition to bury them in a white suit. I don't know if that's true, if there are people listening.
Or the creepy practice where they put them in their suits and they sit them up and pose, the family poses with the body.
Those are so creepy. I've seen those. But if anybody is familiar with funeral practices from back then and they're familiar with that, let me know. But that's what I heard. And this kid was wearing a white suit and I thought, I wonder if that was his burial suit. So anyway,
this hotel, obviously,
right,
if you have
subject.
That much fire and violence around it,
right,
that just burned it to the ground twice.
And in an area where people have come and gone and, you know,
I want to stay there now.
I do too.
Add it to the list.
And I've heard about it more than once.
Yeah.
So I would love to stay there and I would love to... talk to people and find out, you know, what have been their experiences. I don't know if people work there would necessarily say something.
Someone might, or someone who used to work there might be willing to come on as a guest and talk about it.
Maybe. I've talked to people in hotels that are reputed to be haunted. Some of them are willing to tell me. Some of them aren't because they're worried about their job and they don't want to spread anything.
Well, most of them, if they don't work there anymore, they don't have a problem. It's the ones that still work there, like, I don't know if I can say anything.
Well,
Which makes sense.
I did have, in one hotel, the waiters at a restaurant came up to me and showed me some photos, phone photos that they took of the hauntings from their hotel.
Yeah.
And then at this other hotel in the East Bay, there was some ladies who were finished cleaning and they were very nice. They stopped to chat with me and I said, have you ever experienced paranormal activity? And they looked at each other. One of them said, I'm not saying anything. She said, I'm not either. And I go, oh, that means yes.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good confirmation right there.
I said, oh, yeah. That means yes. I said, okay,
thanks.
you don't have to talk about it. It's
thanks
okay.
for confirming for
thanks
me,
Thanks for confirming. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. But cool. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah. So if anybody stayed there, we'd love to hear about it.
Absolutely. Another haunted hotel, because we always love haunted hotels.
We do.
It's another place to go and stay and experience stuff.
Right.
All right, folks, that's it for this week on Ectoportal. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Royalty-free, copyright-free music by Kevin MacLeod and Ross Bugden.
Be sure to visit us at www.ectoportal.com. Check out our archives on YouTube and head on over for new episodes to ectoportal.podbean.com.